It's Monday, March 16th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. We begin this week with an update on our Boycott Kellogg's campaign. You may remember earlier we told a story of how there's a marketing firm that tracks the brand recognition, loyalty, and overall positive association with different brand names in America. Kellogg had ranked number 9 on that list prior to dismissing Olympian Michael Phelps for his bong photo seen around the world, and Kellogg had dropped to number 83 when we last reported. Well, according to the latest rankings, Kellogg has dropped now from 83rd to number 233rd out of the over 5,000 brands that are recognized. So congratulations, Stashers, and thank you for not eating those Pop-Tarts, Frosted Flakes, or Cheez-Its. Now, today I had originally scheduled to go out to Highway 26 here in Oregon. This is the highway that leads to Mount Hood and the Timberline Ski Resort. Oregon Normal, my local chapter, has adopted Highway 26 for milepost 14 to 16. And we're going to have one of those nice signs out there that says Adopt a Highway, sponsored by Oregon Normal. So if you're looking for an innovative way to appeal to the community, this is one of the ways to do it. Sometimes as reformers, we get really locked into the ending of adult marijuana prohibition, and we forget to reach out and represent to the rest of the community. And little things like that, volunteering at homeless shelters or making donations to food banks, helps to integrate us into the community and helps to show people that marijuana smokers are not much different than anyone else. We care about our fellow man and we want to reach out and become a part of our community. This also helps to erode those stereotypes that we're selfish and we only care about getting high. So do something, volunteer, and get the name of Normal the recognition it deserves in your local area. Now, coming up on the stash today, we've got your hemp headlines, including a story that's not getting much play but should, on the success of decriminalization in the country of Portugal. Also, some reefer madness about pot zombies in Vallejo, California. And today's stash is somewhat dedicated to the media. I recently appeared on CKNW Radio in Vancouver, Canada. I'm going to play that interview for you about Tom Amiano's California legalization bill, as well as a dispensary-type bill in Oregon, which would dictate the state to grow the marijuana and take away the right to grow for the patients. Of course, we're opposed to that. And in our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we're going to have quite an interesting week. It's going to be Mary Jane Week, where every song is about someone named or something named Mary Jane. So today, we'll be featuring Mary Jane by El Fatah. And in our second interview segment, Cannabis Conversations, I'm going to play a few clips for you from the mainstream media and the attention that the marijuana legalization issue has gotten from the various cable news networks and network news. All of that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. The success of drug decriminalization in Portugal. In 2001, Portugal became the only EU member state to decriminalize drugs, a distinction which continues through to the present. Last year, working with the Cato Institute, I went to that country in order to research the effects of the decriminalization law, which applies to all substances, including cocaine and heroin, and to interview both Portuguese and EU drug policy officials and analysts. The Central EU Drug Policy Monitoring Agency is, by coincidence, based in Lisbon. Evaluating the policy strictly from an empirical perspective, decriminalization has been an unquestionable success, leading to improvements in virtually every relevant category and enabling Portugal to manage drug-related problems and drug usage rates far better than most Western nations that continue to treat adult drug consumption as a criminal offense. There is clearly a growing recognition around the world and even in the U.S. that strictly on empirical grounds, criminalization approaches to drug usage and especially the, quote, war on drugs, end quote, are abject failures because they worsen the exact problems they are ostensibly intended to address. Strictly on empirical grounds means excluding from the assessment A. ideological questions regarding the legitimacy of imprisoning adults for consuming drugs they choose to consume. B. the evisceration of constitutional and civil liberties wrought by drug decriminalization. And C. the extraordinary sums of money devoted to the war on drugs, both domestically and internationally. Very recent events demonstrating this evolving public debate over drug policy include the declaration of the drug war's failure from several former Latin American leaders, a New Economist editorial calling for full-scale drug legalization, new polls showing substantial and growing numbers of Americans and a majority of Canadians supportive of marijuana legalization, the decision of the DEA to make good on Obama's campaign pledge to cease raids on medical marijuana dispensaries in the states which have legalized its usage, and numerous efforts in the political mainstream to redress the harsh and disparate criminal penalties imposed for drug offenses, including Obama's support for treatment rather than prison for first-time drug offenders. From Salon.com, the success of drug decriminalization in Portugal. This brings me back to Representative Loretta Sanchez calling for a pilot program of marijuana legalization in California and the founder's idea that the states would be laboratories of democracy. If the federal government ended all penalties for marijuana possession and cultivation, that doesn't mean marijuana would be legalized across all 50 states. Each state has its own laws on the books criminalizing marijuana to some degree, though some states base their laws on the federal scheduling of drugs. With the end of federal penalties, a state like, say, California could legalize, and a state like, say, Utah could keep it completely prohibited. And even within California, a county like, say, Mendocino could allow sales and use of pot, and a county like San Bernardino could be dry and fine you for possession. Utah lawmakers pass sweeping liquor law changes. Salt Lake City. Utah lawmakers on Thursday approved the most sweeping changes to the state's liquor laws in 40 years in an effort to boost tourism and make the state appear a little less odd. The legislature eliminated the state's private club system, which requires customers to fill out an application and pay a fee for the right to enter a bar. Bartenders in restaurants also will be allowed to serve cocktails directly over bar counters instead of walking around them. Utah is the only state in the country with either law. Governor John Huntsman has said he'll sign the bill into law, and once that happens, bars can open their doors to the public on July 1. In exchange for loosening the liquor laws, the state's DUI laws will become more strict. People who appear younger than 35 will have their driver's licenses scanned before entering a bar to make sure they're 21 or older and their ID is real. Information obtained through the scan will be kept at bars for 7 days, and law enforcement can inspect it in the event of a DUI or accident. The Utah Hospitality Association, which represents the state's bar industry, reluctantly agreed to the use of the ID scanners, which will cost bars about $800. The association had been prepared to take the measure to a vote through an initiative if lawmakers didn't come to an agreement. Boost tourism so the state can make more money by eliminating illogical and ineffective laws restricting the rights of adults to consume an intoxicant, while increasing the penalties for abuse of that intoxicant leading to the harm of others. What a fantastic idea! Recognize that most people who enjoy that intoxicant do so responsibly, and to institute onerous regulations on that substance based not on rational understanding and study of the use of that substance, but on religious belief and cultural mores, leads to lost economic opportunity and no less use of the substance or problems related to it. Brilliant! Brilliantly logical idea applies only to addictive, toxic, dangerous liquid drugs. Safer euphoria-producing plants need not apply. University of Arkansas students seek sensible drug policy. Quote, "We believe our policy should reflect truth and justice, so we're calling on the university to equalize the punishments for marijuana and alcohol," end quote, said Jacob Holloway, who is working to place the question on the ballot through Students for Sensible Drug Policy. The campaign is sponsored through a partnership among SSDP, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation. The question on the petition asks students, quote, "Do you agree that university sanctions for the possession and use of marijuana should be no greater than those imposed by the university for the possession and use of alcohol, and that the university should establish a task force to develop, implement, and study such a policy?" End quote. Students who visited a table hosted by Safer and Normal in front of the Arkansas Union this week asked the groups a myriad of questions about the initiative, such as, "Will this actually do anything?" and "Can I get in trouble for this?" I'll answer those. Nothing will ever happen to reform marijuana laws on college campuses or in counties or states or on the federal level if we collectively do nothing. It's only a matter of time before prohibition touches you. Maybe it's a random police traffic stop that finds you in possession of a joint. Maybe you'll have the misfortune of our own Mr. Spoff and be diagnosed with cancer and have no legal right to medicinal marijuana. Perhaps you're a Texas resident and a member of your family in Mexico is kidnapped or killed by drug cartels. Freedom of speech is one of our most cherished American rights. College years are arguably among the best years of your lives to become active in issues that involve you. You're expected to dissent and call for change. It's your country and your government. One of the great laments of the older generation is that the college generation of this century lacks passion and drive. Prove them wrong and make a difference in all our lives. If you live in this country, the war on drugs touches you. It makes no difference whether you're a marijuana user or not. We all pay for the billions wasted and mourn for the lives needlessly lost. We should not ask for change. We should demand it.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Legalize marijuana? That's a disastrous idea.
Paul Armentano's hometown newspaper, the Vallejo Times-Herald, is always a fun source of reefer madness. He gets a lot of op-eds and letters to the editor posted there, and it always brings out the cannabophobes. But this one comes in response to another freedom fighter named Mike McCoy.
After days and weeks of reading newspaper articles and letters supporting the legalization of marijuana, I have to respond, hopefully in a small way to ignite folks to resist this ludicrous idea. I have a question. Why would anyone want to put a substance in their body that is totally harmful in ways they don't even know about yet? Marijuana has already been proven to cause serious respiratory problems, and the ability to reason properly while operating a vehicle or anything mechanical. It's beyond my comprehension. You have two drugs that are already legal, tobacco and alcohol. The tragedy, grief, and cost of these two are already overwhelming. Why in God's name would you want to add another? I don't care to see zombies walking around our streets. We have too many already. I'd say it's time to get even tougher on the use of this and other drugs that are being homegrown, as well as the crap that's coming across our borders. It's a systematic, well-regulated, organized attempt to destroy this beautiful country of ours. This will become more evident in the coming days and years. There is so much more that should be said about this subject, but time and space are not available. Mr. Michael J. McCoy's letter would be a deadly change. Think about where we want to go in this country. It's up to you. Ray Hagler, Vallejo, California.
Whoa. Well, first of all, I'm terrified to learn that there are zombies walking the streets of Vallejo, California. How can you tell a marijuana zombie from a regular zombie? The marijuana zombie's the one running around going,
"Strange! Strange!"
Oh, my. Well, first of all, Ray only gets 2.5 anslingers for that bit of writing, but it was more than worth it for the excuse to make the marijuana zombies picture on the blog at stash.normal.org. That, and the idea that people who want to legalize marijuana are somehow gathered at Dr. Evil's secret island lair plotting to destroy America. What do you think, Dr. Evil? Should we hit him with a terrorist attack? Destroy their economy and banking system? Invade their lands? No! Let's fool them into legalizing marijuana! That'll show them! Reefer madness. When will it end?
Well, I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in norm. Norm to the L.org, normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom.
Freedom, the freedom. I'm coming to whatever I want.
Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org.
636 on CKNW. Can Californians help dig themselves out of their historic fiscal crisis by getting stoned? Well, Tom Ammiano thinks so, and he isn't smoking a thing. The California State Assembly member introduced legislation that would regulate the cultivation and sale of marijuana and then tax it. By legalizing pot, the San Francisco lawmaker argues the state could reap huge new revenues. Currently, marijuana is California's biggest cash crop, with annual sales reaching $14 billion. Vegetables, the state's second hottest agricultural product, take in a mere $5.7 billion. Well, for more on this and also a proposal in the state of Oregon, we caught up with Russ Belville. He's the National Chapter Outreach Coordinator for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
This is the bill that was introduced by San Francisco Assemblyman Tom Ammiano, and this bill calls for the taxation and regulation of marijuana in a manner similar to alcohol. What we would have here is a tax of $50 per ounce of marijuana. Marijuana could be grown and distributed through state stores or through other means that have yet to be determined by the legislature. But the basic idea is to take California's largest cash crop and bring it out of the underground market and into a legitimate market where it could benefit Californians.
And the bill would also propose to restrict anyone from under the age of 21 from having access to marijuana?
That's definitely true. The problem with the illegal marijuana market is that no one is asking for identification. And children, especially high school students, over the years have said in surveys that they find it easier to get marijuana than to get alcohol, well, because the liquor stores are carding them for the alcohol. We just think that the rules that apply to Bacardi 151 should be applied to marijuana.
And tell me about how much revenue it would be expected to raise, because this, as you mentioned, it's a big cash crop.
The revenue estimates are hard to come by because there's an illegal market by definition is really hard to quantify. But we are talking about billions of dollars here. Some estimates are saying up to $5 to $10 billion per year that could be raised from the direct taxation, as well as the indirect revenue raised through the new jobs that would be created, the sales taxes that would be generated, and so on.
So in essence, the state of California would grow the marijuana?
No, this would be handled by private individuals. It would be like any other cash crop. There could be regulations as far as getting licenses to grow and inspections to make sure that the crop is not tainted or in any way, but that has yet to be determined.
There would be, as I understand it, licensing fees and then fees every year, so there would be another revenue generator from that aspect of it.
Exactly. I'm sure that everyone will want to promulgate some rules on this to make sure that we've got legitimate growers and they're not diverting their crop to the black market out of state or anything like that. I'm sure that is something that could be easily worked out.
And as we've found out here in Vancouver with the marijuana trade, that it is very, very much linked to gang activity. Is one of the reasons for this bill in California to try to move this profit center away from illegal gangs?
Definitely. Like you said, when these products are illegal, then only the criminals control the market in those products. Making the product illegal doesn't make the demand go away. And we're seeing right now, especially as you look to Southern California near the Mexico border, how the drug war has just exploded in Mexico with 6,000 deaths a year and beheadings and corruption at the highest levels of government. And the estimates now say that 60 to 75% of these Mexican drug cartels' profits come from the trafficking of marijuana. So if people were growing and buying and selling marijuana domestically, that would just about wipe out the major funding source for these violent drug gangs.
Now, in the state of Oregon, there's a similar proposal, although this bill would cover the distribution and growing of medical marijuana. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, this is kind of a Trojan horse type of a bill from the opponents of medical marijuana who are trying to end the medical marijuana program. In their opinion, there's a massive abuse of the program because we have 23,000 registered patients. which isn't really abuse when you consider that every year in Oregon there are at least 17,000 people diagnosed with cancer every year, and that's just one of the conditions for which a person can get medical marijuana. Briefly stated, what they're trying to do with this bill is to fool people by saying we're going to allow the state to grow medical marijuana, and then the medical marijuana will be distributed by pharmacies. The problem with that is 2 years ago in the 2007 legislative session, we proposed a medical marijuana garden where the state would supplement the growing being done by the patients through the use of a state garden and pharmacy distribution. At that time, they told us the state would never grow marijuana because it was against federal law, and the pharmacies would never distribute marijuana because it's against federal law. But in this session, the idea with this bill is that these state growing and pharmacy would replace the patient's ability to grow for themselves. That is, patients would no longer be able to grow their own. Well, if the rules from 2007 still apply, the state's not going to grow marijuana and the pharmacies aren't going to distribute it. So in essence, passage of this bill would mean nobody would be growing marijuana, and that would in essence destroy the medical marijuana program in Oregon.
That's Russ Belville. He is with NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. This week we're playing a special dedication to Mary Jane. All week the Daily Toker Tunes are about and named Mary Jane. So to kick off this special Mary Jane Music Week, Monday's Music with a Message is El Fattah's song, Mary Jane. El Fattah, based in the UK, is a powerful yet sweet-sounding singer. Having recently released his second album, Miracle, El Fattah continues to spread a strong message of love and freedom with his unique style of gentle reggae music. For more about the artist, check out myspace.com/ElFattah1, that's E-L-F-A-T-A, and then the number 1, and ElFattah.net. Today on Message Monday, enjoy the first Mary Jane song of the Mary Jane Music Week, nominated in 2007's Marijuana Music Awards, and registered stashers can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Mary Jane by El Fattah.
Excuse me, Mr. George. My name is El Fattah. I'm here to defend this natural and beautiful lady by the name of Mary Jane. I plead her not guilty of all the charges made against her. You know why? President and lover, your judges and your lawyers, your smoker, even the policemen that keep her as a
distribute it, cause the government tell them to legalize it. But Mary Jane, the natural and innocent lady, she don't trouble nobody, no, no, she don't kill nobody. Now you wanna put her in the prison for the thing that she didn't do. And the real criminal keep on running about the school baby. Let us see for the criminal, and the criminal is cigarette. Yes, you know it, don't try to hide it. If you don't stop injustice, destruction won't cease. So leave Mary Jane alone. We know you end up in the corner when you smoke it, and then you come out to tell us it is intended. Oh, roll it up for the general, the inspector overtake her and the coroner, and let her come out in the public to arrest her. Oh, stop your hypocrite system. Oh, I live in your region alone.
The outdoors. I work a 9-to-5, and I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time, and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
You don't have to be working here at Normal to realize there's been an incredible uptick in the interest in marijuana legalization in this country, especially on our mainstream media. It seems just maybe a year or two ago that even suggesting talking about the topic of marijuana legalization meant you weren't serious. You were laughed out of the room. My own personal experience, I was competing for a talk radio contest back in October of 2006, and as the finals approached, I felt that I had to say something about the war on marijuana to be true to myself. I was counseled against it. They said, you want to stay away from the four G's, God, gays, guns, and grass, because they were fringe topics. I still had to do it, though, so I did a diatribe on the war on marijuana and gave a lot of the facts about how much money we could be saving and how many people are arrested and so on. And, of course, I won that contest, and even Ed Schultz said that I took the fringe topic of marijuana but taught people something new about it. So I am thrilled to see how much we are hearing in the mainstream media about the topic of marijuana legalization. Of course, this has been propelled by the news somewhat, you know, from Michael Phelps getting the bong photo to Tom Amiano's legalization bill in California. But now people are willing to talk about it seriously. And we have Representative Loretta Sanchez coming up and talking about a pilot program of legalization in California. Ron Paul appearing on the television discussing legalization on Larry King Live. So it's a real great time to be a part of the reform movement. And I really hope you get involved by joining your local chapter of Normal. Check out the web at norml.org. And over on the left, just look for local chapters and click on your state and call the chapter near you. And if there's not a chapter near you, you can start one. Just need you and four friends to get together. Well, doesn't even have to be friends. Four people that want to end adult marijuana prohibition. And send me an email at stash@normal.org with the subject chapter request. And in my capacity as Normal's chapter outreach coordinator, I will help you with the process of getting your Normal chapter started. But let's get back to the mainstream media here. I wanted to play a few clips from some recent appearances, and these are from videos that are available at our blog, stash.normal.org, so you can check out the full-length videos there. This is from CNN's Rick Sanchez. On his show, he had Harvard professor Jeffrey Miron. You can learn more about Jeffrey Miron's previous study at prohibitioncost.org, where he outlines what the costs and savings would be of eliminating marijuana prohibition. His new book out is about eliminating the drug war in its entirety, and here he discusses with Rick Sanchez what the costs and savings would be.
Break it down for us. You know, we got that figure of $77 million from you. How did you get to $77 billion?
Well, you would get about $44 billion by not spending the money we're currently spending on police for arrests, on judges and prosecutors for all the trials, for prisons and prison guards, et cetera, for the incarcerations. And you get another $33 billion or so by collecting tax revenue on legal drugs in the same way we collect lots of tax revenue on cigarettes and alcohol. So it's a combination of those two things, and that number puts together the state and the federal, but it gets you what used to be thought of as a big number, although these days it doesn't sound so impressive.
not post Bernie Madoff. It sounds like what you're saying is that we are almost at the same place today where we were back at during Prohibition, that we've got a problem, and the best way of solving it would be of getting rid of the Prohibition. Vis-a-vis alcohol.
Absolutely. And of course, it turns out that one of the reasons that the nation came to its senses in 1933 was because of a big economic downturn, the Great Depression, and they realized that they wanted more tax revenue, and legalizing alcohol again was one way to do it. Now, that's not the only reason to legalize. It's much more important that legalization would, for example, get rid of all the violence in Mexico that we've been observing recently.
Now we go on to one of the other cable news networks. This is the show Morning Joe, featuring former Representative Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. And they had the guest on from Rolling Stone magazine, Guy Lawson, talking about the destabilization and the shooting drug war that we have going on south of our border in Mexico.
The same amount of drugs is being produced in Colombia. So the war on drugs has had a net no effect. Well, $500 billion. No impact on production or demand.
Our war on drugs. All right.
Fiasco. You have now in Mexico a huge cocaine problem because the same amount of coke is coming into Mexico, but it's not really the same value. So there's a big domestic drug dependency problem that's just becoming epidemic inside Mexico.
That is a Mexican problem with Mexicans doing coke.
So the main drugs that are coming in are heroin and marijuana. If you just legalized marijuana or decriminalized marijuana, you would take something like 75% of the revenue streams for these Mexican cartels out of the game.
What's the end game?
You have three choices. You can go through the confrontation, which is what Calderon's pursuing now, which is leading to massive violence and instability. You can have simulation or pretend to enforce the laws, or you can end prohibition. Those are your choices.
Marijuana jokes, of course, are a staple of comedy shows, and The Daily Show on Comedy Central also took its stab at the marijuana legalization question with comedian Lewis Black and his segment, Back in Black.
For a segment we call Back in Black.
Everybody's talking about how terrible the economy is. Another one of our national vices might actually get us out of this.
Tonight, lawmakers in California are considering an alternative to help pull the state out of its financial crisis. They are considering legalizing and taxing marijuana.
keep cheering, you morons. Right now, pot is cheap, strong, and available at any park or elementary school parking lot. But let's tax the shit out of it, weaken it way down, and make you talk to this guy when you want a dime bag. I guess the message here is drugs are really, really bad for you. Until the real estate market tanks.
Finally, ABC News' 2020 News Magazine show featured a John Stossel special called Bailouts and Bull, and one of the segments profiled the story of Charlie Lynch, who operated a dispensary in Morro Bay, California, was approved by the local authorities, but of course busted by the DEA. This is just a segment from that Charlie Lynch interview, which also features an interview with Melissa Etheridge.
A raid by armed federal agents.
Federal agents seizing hundreds of pounds of marijuana.
All of a sudden, I hear the banging at my front door, and they say, search warrant, open up, open the door, we're going to tear it down.
Authorities raided Charles Lynch's home.
I open the door, and about 10 to 15 agents with shields, bulletproof vests, guns, masks. They came barreling in like this, threw me on the ground there, and one of the agents had a gun to the back of my head.
Federal authorities seized 30 pounds of marijuana. What tipped them off to Charlie's marijuana operation? Maybe the ribbon-cutting ceremony that he held.
There was never anything underhanded or hidden about it at all.
Janice Peters is the mayor of Charlie's town. Here she is at that ribbon-cutting ceremony. City councilmen were here, too. So was the head of the Chamber of Commerce.
He welcomed the police, the Board of Supervisors, anybody who wanted to come in any time.
That's because medical marijuana is legal here and in 12 other states. Legal because many people say it treats my illness. Melissa Etheridge says that. About 5 years ago, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Chemotherapy took her hair and made her sick. She says she was only able to sing here at the Grammys because she used marijuana to get through the side effects of chemo.
It's so funny because I think marijuana has such a social stigma.
Yeah, you're just another
rock star trying to get high. But when it comes to the medicinal use of this herb, it is nothing about getting high. You're not getting high. You are trying to get to a place of normal.
Yeah, it's about getting to a place of normal, indeed. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, this one from Mark Kleiman, a professor from the School of Public Policy and Social Research at the University of California, Los Angeles, who said, quote, "About 75% of the people who use any illicit drug use only marijuana, and most of those people only use relatively small amounts of marijuana. When people talk about drug users, what they have in their mind is often a junkie nodding off on a street corner or a hopped-up crackhead. But most drug users, meaning illicit drug users, are occasional marijuana smokers." End quote. And we are those marijuana smokers' lobby right here at Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Help us out and join today by going to norml.org and tell your friends, this is the year to get involved with marijuana law reform. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.